Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello out there, everyone. I hope everyone is doing great. But did you know what? There's a strange thing a-coming, and I know I shall abound.
For ye heard my cry in heaven, and I know I'm heaven bound. I will sing with heaven's angels, I will cast them down my crown, because there's a strange thing a-coming, and in him I shall abound. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. You see that, ladies and gentlemen? You heard that beautiful voice? I was told that I was country. So, you know, I had to
speak country.
I'm Native American. Woo, 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 woo. Oh, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a very fantastic guest, our co-host, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful person, a beautiful queen, Anna Marie Holiday. And did you know Miss Anna Marie Holiday was born in Rochester, New York, into a loving, God-fearing family with seven siblings, five brothers and two sisters, mother to three sons dedicated to our Lord. And with me tonight, who's going to help me to interview Miss Anna Marie Holiday, is our co-host, Miss P.J. Sampson. I will finish with saying Anna served at this present time. She's working as a music director. She's a youth minister, youth adult Sunday school teacher, director over the ushers and greeters committee, armor bearer. She is a trained lead indie gospel recording artist. Let me throw that back at you again. She is a trained or lead indie gospel recording artist, book author, radio host, personality, announcer, voiceover, business manager, overseer of Radio Table Topics, church counseling, global leadership and training, talk show pre-interviewer for recruiting. Anna is sensitive to the voice of God while allowing the gift of help to lead her as she goes about her Father's business, which is kingdom building on our Lord, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Anna is affectionately called by friends and family who calls her Marie. She loves playing pickleball and helping others in her adoptive home state, Texas, with enjoying the camaraderie and communion, while sharing in our Lord's love with family and friends who have allowed her to be a part of their lives. So welcome, Miss Anna Marie Holiday. Welcome, co-host PJ. And you guys, Anna is also our co-host. So how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome as I stumble on along. And we have Miss PJ. And Miss PJ, would you like to go ahead and start the show?
I sure would, Miss DD. I sure would.
I really thank you
so much.
Thank you
for giving me this opportunity. The opportunity, and we welcome you, Anna. And you know you just one of us. This is sisterhood.
Yeah.
This is sisterhood. So I do have a question to ask you.
The queen.
And I do have a question to ask you, Miss Anna. And the question that I want to ask you: are you able in the music industry to be able to discern entertainment performance from the anointing, especially in the collaboration in doing the songwriting and choosing your singers? Were you able to discern that?
First, let me say that thank you all for that happy introduction. And tonight we plan on having joy and fun. So I'm just so honored to be a special guest of you all tonight. And, yes, to your question, I am able to discern. It's very important. I'm pretty sure that any well-known artist that is out there has to discern whether or not if that person is able to produce what they feel in their spirit. If not, then you will have contrary, conflicting spirit. So, yes, that's very, very important. And thank God that I have that discernment, that I'm able to discern the songs and the spirit of one another. You must gel. You must be able to be on one accord to produce what you know that God has given you. So yes to that.
So what was your reaction? I know you were a songwriter, but what was your reaction after hearing them sing the songs that you wrote? What came across your spirit, or how did you feel about what you heard?
You know, you get a confirmation, and that's the great thing about discernment. You'll get that confirmation within that it's right, and you're able to pull out of the people that you're allowing to sing the song that has been given to you. It's a connection. You hear it and you know that it's right, and you can walk away with peace. There's something about peace. You can't buy it, but when that confirmation comes in your spirit, you know, yes, that was it. So it's definitely the confirmation of peace.
Absolutely, absolutely. So my second question is, which branding do you think highlights you the most? I mean, by branding, I know that you do ministry training in the church, and then you're a songwriter. There may be other brandings that you have as well. Which branding do you feel that highlights you most?
I have to say the branding that highlights me most is the gifts of health. I'm honored to have the gifts of health. The gifts of health falls in every department, whether you're an usher, whether you're a music director, whether you're a greeter. The gift of help each department because it tells everyone that you're available. They have a thing now that I remember when I was growing up, you would apply for one job, and if you apply for that job on the application, that's the job you did. But today in our society, you can be hired for a secretary, and you also might be considered to be the custodian. So, because they want you cross-trained. And so that's why I said the gifts of help, because you cross-train in many jobs, although that might not be your major or what you specifically assigned to do. You're open. Your mind is open. Your heart is open. Gifts of help put you in a place that you're saying, guess what, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done.
Exactly.
So if you feel that you do not have that training, you don't let that limit you. You don't, you know, stay inside of the box. You say you let God, whatever you want, I guess you would want to say, you like most people, they feel like they're not ready for change because that's something that they never did before. But I know since I've been around you, you have this thing, well, okay, at least I'll try. And most people won't try because they are fearful of change, of the unexpected. But you feel comfortable with change. Is that correct?
You know, I don't know if I can say I feel comfortable with change, but I can say I'm willing to take on the change. And in the society and world that we live in today, you have to be open to change. Day from day, yesterday is not the same as today. That's a change. And so you have to let go of what you know to learn something new in order to grow sometimes. The old time people said, well, if it's not fixed, if it's not broke, why are we trying to fix it? It's change. In order to grow higher, in order to take another step. If you're going up a ladder, if you're going up the step to trying to get to the top, the step at the bottom is not the same as the next step. So we have to keep an open mind, I believe, not only in music, but in everything that we do.
So do you think that that's the reason why we're in the current state, feel more competition, feel more intimidated because of we limit ourselves and we are not ready for that change. So we get intimidated by the other person because we're not ready to come out of our comfort zone.
And I do believe that, and I believe that it will allow us to miss a lot of opportunities. Change doesn't mean that you let down your standard. And so, you know, we have to not live in a box of just saying, okay, this is the way that it should be, and there's no other way, and be closed-minded. It doesn't mean that you let down your standards. It just means that you're looking at it in a different way. You're looking at a different view. And, you know, there's many ways to do the same thing without it being wrong. And that's how I look at change.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you answering that for me. The only reason that I addressed that because there were some things that you came to me and asked me to help you with, and I just saw how it wasn't a feeling of intimidation. It wasn't feeling like I can't do this, or you didn't have no trust issues or anything. You went right at it, and you worked on it, and it's just like wow. And you had the what would you want to call it? Leadership, and I don't know if you consider yourself as a leadership, but you were humble at what you were doing, and you were ready for it. You wasn't saying that I'm beyond learning. And so that would actually make it easier for someone to work with you, is because there's no feeling of competition or intimidated, or you're going to take my job or anything like that. It's that even leaders, as a leader, there you never stop learning. And I just wanted to say that I appreciate your character. That's the only reason that I brought that up, is that's your character. You have a humble character, and you're not fearful of something new. And I just appreciate that about you. Over to Gigi. Back over to you, Gigi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anna, for those questions and everything. And it seems as if you're a very multi-talented young lady with so much to give to the world. I wanted to ask you, Anna, before we go into our break in about 3 minutes, your personality and the personality that you have, you know, as you write, how does God, if I can ask this in a, let's see, how does God influence you when you're writing your lyrics as a songwriter? How are you influenced by God? What inspires you the most, and where are you when you write?
Well, let me answer the last question. Where am I when I write? I think after the break we're going to have a part B to that. Most of the time, I'm asleep. And God wakes me up, and he lays, you know, lyrics on my heart. And, you know, I believe that writing music comes from a place, from your emotions. I hear most people say that you can't have a testimony without a test. And usually I hear songwriters and producers talk about that usually when they write the songs, it's because of something that they're going through at that time, whether at that time they're going through happiness, depression, a divorce, it doesn't matter. What it does is the songs usually tie into the emotional state that you're in at that time. Which I love, because at that time you're vulnerable and you're pulling out everything from your innermost. So what it does is it makes the song more real than just taking it from the top of your head. And that's how people connect, I believe, to your song. I don't think all the time that people connect. Let me just take a well-known artist, Fred Hammond. I don't think that they just go and purchase his songs. Because it's Fred Hammond, they might go and get the song and say, well, Fred Hammond came out with a new song. But what attaches them is when they hear the lyrics from his innermost and they tie that emotion to what they're going through at that time.
Exactly. And it's sort of like an anointing in a way, because of the lyrics that hit so deep in the soul that makes that song come alive. And as you said, people can really relate to that song. And that's the most important thing people should know about songwriters, as she has so eloquently expressed tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to be back in a few moments. We're going to take a break for a moment. You're listening to The Artist Loft. This is Gigi Adams-Evans, along with my co-host, PJ Sampson, and our co-host who we're interviewing tonight, the lovely Miss Talented, Anna Marie Holiday. We'll be right back in just a few moments, and hopefully we'll get to ask some more questions before Anna leaves. Worship You by Anna Marie Holiday. And Anna, if you want to go ahead and answer the first part of the question that we left off as we went into interview, I'd like to ask you a little bit about I Worship You and what inspired you to write that after you, you know, have finished with the question preceding that.
Well, you know what's so funny and ironic, I was just sitting here listening to the song. And there's six songs on my current CD, and I Worship You is number one. But number one on that song, it the way that I look how these songs are written, my gosh, it's amazing what order they're in. And it's not number one because that's the first song that I wrote. It's number one because that's the place where after I will praise you, Holy Spirit, clap your hands, praise the Lord, and then worthy, I worship you. It took all of those songs before that to get to I worship you. And so mm-hmm. because each one of these songs have a meaning to them, and it was the place that I was at that time. So mm-hmm. I didn't know how to worship the Lord until I went through each one of these phases. And so I Worship You was written, and a lady sung it for me. She's a pastor's wife, and her name is Ty, and she had no idea that she could sing jazz. And as a songwriter, what God has anointed me with is to pull something out of the person that's singing that they felt they did not have. If you allow me to back up, each person that God led me to let for the songs that I wrote to sing, each person had a story. They had a dream. They had a desire to sing. They had a desire to pull this innermost cry, I call it, out, but they didn't know how to do it. And so I was led to each person individually, and I asked them. I might have saw them, maybe they were singing in a choir. but I saw something more. And God allowed me to go inside and to pull a dream that they had out to sing. And so individually what I was doing is pulling them to the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pulling up confidence in them that they might have felt they didn't have. And this is how I worship came about. She had never sung jazz before. As a matter of fact, our first take, she had no idea that we were even recording it. And when we recorded and she heard it, she said, I didn't believe that I can do this.
Wow.
So that's where I worship you came from. It came from me not believing because of what I had been through in my life, not thinking that I will be able to ever worship the Lord again. To the point where I had pulled out, I worship you out of somebody else's spirit. It's connection. The words and the song is just the connections of the connection of where you are in your life with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's amazing because, you know, with your style of writing, you know, writing the songs, I know that you're also a keyboardist. Is that not right?
Well, I try.
You try. Well, the composures that you do are wonderful because I've heard some of them, Anna, and I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, Anna, go ahead and give out that information as to how they can get your album right quick.
Well, I'm going to give that to PJ because PJ is my manager, if you don't mind.
Oh, no. I just thought for Anna. No problem. Not a problem. We'll go on and move to the next question. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Artist Loft, and this is your radio host, along with my co-host, PJ Sampson. And our co-host tonight we're interviewing is the Miss Lovely Anna Marie Holiday, songwriter, and among many, many other things, a child of God. And she's a business manager, overseer of a radio table topic, and so many, many things. Tell us about your father's business, Kingdom Business. How did you come about being a part of that?
I came about that. Part of it is with PJ, our host, and we were. I've always had a spirit, I guess, as a small child, that I love to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that Kingdom Business, because I am a Christian, it's not about me, it's about Him. And so I've always been a person that if you tell me that you want to do something, I'm probably going to be your biggest cheerleader. And
right.
So because I was raised in the church very young, I was taught that way as a young person, realizing that it's, you know, and there's been times we get off a track, but I learned how to get back on track quickly so that I could stay connected. And so I came up with Kingdom Business because just about everything, you can do things in the secular world. I'm not saying be so holy that, you know, you're so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. But just understanding what's your purpose in life, understanding that there's a greater purpose than just you. When I teach music, when I teach piano, I think that I'm a better teacher than player. But when I teach them, I tell them that try to use a domino effect. And the domino effect is, and I make them sign a contract and also confess verbally that if I'm going to teach you, then I expect you to be better than I am. And I also you have to promise that you will also teach another person. So it will be a domino effect. I'm not trying to touch thousands of 10,000 people or a million people. What I want is the one person that I touch, and it will be a domino effect, and therefore it will touch others.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because for each one of us, I mean, my favorite slogan is for each one, we teach one, and that would be the same as your domino effect because of the fact that, like you say, you want people to be better than you are because of the fact that they're going out there in the world and they've got to present themselves, but that highlight that light behind them presenting themselves to the world highlights on you, the teacher. So that's most important. And I really commend you for it. I really commend you for it because you do so much. And if we had all the time in the world, we still wouldn't be able to read everything that you do on the air at this particular time. But we will be talking about you more and more, and we'll have more interviews with Maria as time, you know, gives us time to do. Now, Anna, is there a particular song or musical passage that never fails to move you emotionally?
You know what, God is good. And each one of these songs that I listen to, and I do have more songs, they're just not out yet. I'm completely in the studio. But on these songs here, and if you allow me just to go back, the reason why I would say PJ has more information than myself, I believe that a person's talent, and the same way for you, Miss Gigi, you all have pulled out gifts and talents in me that I didn't even know that I have. And so each time I'm more and more amazed how God just, you know, let me just say, God doesn't make any junk. He knows us, and he knew us even before we were born. And so there's gifts and talents that I believe that's in everyone, hidden talent that sometimes we just need to the connection with the right people. Sometimes I pray, Father, give me the right hookup. Give me the right gifts, that those gifts will be manifested in us, and there's gifts that's just laying dormant. We don't even know. And so you say, well, I didn't know I could do that. And it's because sometimes it's because of the people that we're hanging with. They're not pulling on us, or they're not teaching us to pull out those hidden gifts. We just have to move around and get with other people that want to see us prosper. Yeah. To another level, and that's why I said about Miss G, about PJ. She's working on a website right now working on a website concerning my music, so that it will get out. You know that it can be out to the public, but I do have one song, "Clap Your Hands," which is on YouTube at this time, and that's the only one that's on YouTube as far as the video. But God has blessed me to write each one of these songs, and I can't say that one stands out more than the other, because I think that each person that might be listening or will listen to this show later will get mad at me, because you know what? I love each one of them so much, and I'm so honored that God has allowed them to be on this CD. But I love each one of them. I Will Praise You was number 6, and that was done by someone that I call my very own sister, Maxine Manalopa, and Linda Arthur, which I call my mom. I love that song because that song was produced when I was going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand I Will Praise You. Of course, you know, divorces are not all easy, and it was a very, very hard time in my life, and I had to pull out I will Praise You, because I didn't feel like praising him. So I had to declare with my mouth, in my mind, I had to make my spirit to praise him. And so that's where that song came from. That song was the breaking song for my spirit to say that you can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens you.
Amen.
And so, you know, each one of these songs, Clap Your Hands, just came from a place that, you know, that I declare it didn't matter what happened, I was going to clap my hands. I was going to praise the Lord. Because we don't always feel like doing something. It's just sometimes we have to make ourselves do it to get to that next level.
Exactly.
So each one of these songs are special.
Exactly. I wanna ask you one more question before I turn it over. I have two questions. First of all, this is a kind of an enlightening question, because what in the world is pickleball?
I knew that question was coming.
You know, man, I was gonna bring it.
Well, you know, pickleball is. It's a sport similar to racquetball, but it's played in a not in the four walls. It's similar. You can almost put it like tennis, but the racket is smaller.
Uh-huh.
The ball is different. It's more like a ping pong ball, but it's bigger, and it doesn't bounce definitely like a rubber ball, which means that you have to use more energy.
Uh-huh.
But it's a sport that it's mostly played inside, and I just got introduced to pickleball maybe a couple of years ago, and so I go and I play with, I would say, aging women, and they're actually probably at least 30 years older than I am, but I play with them because, again, I believe that I can pull something out of them because I'm younger. It doesn't mean that, I mean, they give me a run for my money, but I play with them because it's an encouragement, and I want their heart is happy when I get there. And so because I say everyone else, they're like 30 years older than I am, but to be able to play with someone younger and they know that I'm younger, it gives them joy, it gives them happy, and they don't look like, well, you know, I'm too old to do this. And that's my heart. My heart is not just that I'm happy and joyful, but that I can encourage somebody else.
Exactly. I'm going to have to check that out, the pickleball. And I have one more question. Where would you like to find yourself in 10 years?
Definitely doing kingdom business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to find myself, you know, I have so much in my brain sometimes. I said, well, Father, first of all, I don't have the funds, but I know that you can make a way out of no way. And I want to find myself definitely, I don't want to say not doing the same thing. I might be doing the same thing. It's more important to find myself in a spot where I have grown. It's not that I don't want to say, well, I don't want to find myself doing the same thing 10 years from now. If I'm not in that same spot, I don't mind. So I want to find myself in 10 years that I have thought that growth has taken place. I just believe that, you know, if you're not going forward or back, you can't. I don't believe in stagnant. I don't believe that you can stay in the same place and say that you've grown. I believe that there has to be some kind of growth, even in material. You know, it deteriorates. So either you're making that material, you know, you're doing something to that material so that it can stop the deterioration. But I don't believe that you could just stay in the same place. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Time moves. And so, you know, I believe in growth. So I don't mind if I'm doing the same thing 10 years from now. I just know that I don't want to be in the same place.
Exactly. You're still fueled by the power of the Lord, because that's proof positive. And I have to give I don't wear hats, but I'll give you a standing ovation, because I am so proud of knowing you. It's an honor to know you, to be a part of our group, to know that you're doing all these wonderful things that you're doing. And I wish you well. I wish you blessings and success for now and in the future. And I'm going to turn the mic back over. You're welcome. PJ, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go get me a collard green and cornbread snack while PJ...
That's good.
Don't go too far, Miss Gigi, because I want to hear that sound I heard yesterday. You remember the sound I heard yesterday? I heard the sound so loud yesterday, I thought you was praising the Lord. You was listening to some game.
Honey, they're my Falcons. Y'all know that. The Falcons was outstanding, as they were outstanding, and I was shouting in PJ's ear. I had totally forgot that she was on the phone.
I thought Anna was praising the Lord. I thought she was praising the Lord. She was
Lord
so loud, I said, like, what happened? What happened?
Oh, the Falcons, they were 28-20, but they were locked tied in the fourth quarter. And, of course, New England got the Super Bowl again. But they were close.
They getting thrown for the money.
They got pushed back a little bit, and they weren't able to obtain what they needed to obtain. But I think it was still the cheat game. I still say that, New England. Y'all know that thing belonged to us. Now, I'm hoarse from yesterday. Get back to us. We need it. Falcon.
All right.
Falcon. There you go. Falcon.
Praise the Lord now. Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
They're going to still be going strong. So now.
That's right.
That's
all
right,
right. Anna, back to you. So we're going to get back to you. Let's see. What was the question that I had to ask? Oh, I wanted to ask you. One question was, do you think for Christian music artists that there is enough help, or do you find it more, as the Bible say, love men, lovers of themselves? Or do you feel that there is quite a bit of help as far as for Christian artists?
Well, you know what? I did an assignment at Daystar Radio Station. Daystar Television Show, and I was so amazed to. And I won't mention the name, but there were two people there, a man and a woman, that sang along with Joni, and they're over the Daystar Ministry, Joni and Marcus. And they sang with Joni, with her, and I was just, I was amazed that they were so earthly. I mean, they were earthbound to earth. And
yeah,
even though they're up there on this big old TV show, they were normal. I mean, they walked up to me, they spoke, you know. And I think what happens is when artists, when you don't give back, and I'm not saying that they don't, I'm just saying sometimes people forget that when they get a certain, I'm just trying to be careful with my words. I think when they get a certain status that we sometimes forget about those that are trying to get to where they are. And so I don't feel that there's enough help, and I wish there was more. And you know, if God sees fit to bless me one day with $1 million, you know, that's one of my dreams, and that's one of my desires. You know, and it's not always if somebody wants to be on the platform. Like I said, I never did any of this to be on a platform. Like right now, I'm not the music director of my church, but I used to be. And so, you know, there's a different titles that I've had held before, past, that I'm not doing now. And each one of those offices that I held them to the highest esteem, which means that if you want to hold an office, I believe that you should be willing to teach others. And that leadership should come out somehow that others are being blessed, not just you. It's not a showcase. It's so that others can be blessed by what God has given you. You have to remember that it's a gift from the Lord. It's not what you know. It's what you're willing to learn, you know. And so I might know something, but I'm willing to teach others so that they can learn also.
Exactly. Absolutely. So do you think it's a, I don't know if it's the right word, a kind of a mixture of entrepreneur and business, that instead of the, you know, kingdom business mixing with entrepreneur, where it's kind of you're not getting the help because everybody's trying to get for themselves?
Well, you know, if you can just imagine right now, the kind of world we live in, you know, when I was growing up, they said it took a village to raise a child, you know, and if you could just imagine a village and you being a child in it, and all the people around you, if you got hurt, you could just imagine all the people running to help you, you know. And now imagine you being in a village and you're trying to go higher, but you see those same people stepping on your head, and each person keeps stepping on each other's head to try to reach the top. So instead of them running to your rescue to try to help you in the time of need, or to help you to get to a different, you know, position, instead you have these people stepping on top of each other on their head to try to get on top. And so if you can just visualize that, you know, sometimes priorities get out of place, and sometimes we don't even know that they're out of place because we're in this, everything is so fast, everything's so quick, you know. 24 hours back 10 years ago in a day might have seemed a long time. Today, 24 hours, we don't have enough time to do half of what we plan on doing. So it's just a different, world, I think, that we live in today.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So say if there was something that I needed help with, I'm pretty sure, knowing who you are, Anna, you would say, PJ, I would suggest this, or I know this person, and I'll let you know who this person is. What makes others, like, say, if you were a music artist and they had information that they would hold the information and not we that's what the advocate, and I say this all the time, and I was telling my nephew about that today, is that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be the advocate. So if I see something, just like you said with the singers, that you had saw something in them, and some of them may not have believed in themselves or whatever, but God had chose them and let you know that these were the ones. And that's basically how he does with me. It may be somebody that he wants to encourage or empower, and it's a freely, I'm not asking for no money because God said I've already paid the price. But what makes a person just may not just want to, they hold back that information, and we're all supposed to be Christians, and we hold back, and we're Christians helping other Christians, but we're holding information back when God so freely gave it to us. I don't know if I made sense there.
You did. I'm sorry.
It's almost like I think you mentioned it to me one time. We were prepping something and we were doing something. You say, well, why they didn't tell me that? You know, I didn't know it was supposed to go like that. And this whole time I didn't even know to keep a person in the blind. Instead of, if God gave you something freely, then everything doesn't have to come with a large price that, okay, God gave me a word today, so Anna, I need you to give me $1,000. But if I see my sister and my sister is in need of something, we as women, we really don't empower each other that much. It's more intimidation, competition. And that was one of the questions when you were talking about me and Gigi and being around the right people, the appointed people that will empower you, that will build you up. And I think that that's where I was in the beginning. I was surrounded by people where it was intimidation and competition. And the Lord just told me, he said, you need to be around those that will build you up, not on the same level, that will build you up. That they are already, that they're building, are they on the same level, which with how me and Gigi are, you and Gigi. If there's something that there is a need, it's no question about it. We don't have to sit there and just say, how could we fit that in our budget? That's my sister, and I want to help you. I have that much compassion. Why is it not, what my question is, do you have an idea why there is not enough of that with women, are enough within the music industry with just Christians helping other Christians?
You know, originally, as Miss Gigi read my bio, I'm from New York, and I remember the way that I started playing the keyboard. We lost our organist, and I asked my pastor's wife at that time, and I said, and I maybe I was in my 20s, and I said, or maybe a little younger, and I said to her, we don't have an organist, and our church was pretty, you know, big, and I said, if I play on the keyboard, she played the guitar, I said, if you give me a chance, if I play on the keyboard, the piano, I said, I think that I can, and the songs, and I started playing with one finger. And then I started playing with two, and eventually I started playing with three. And I believe that while I was playing with those fingers, that God was anointing me at that time and giving me the keys to play, because I didn't take any training, I didn't do any lessons, but it was my heart, it was my desire. And that's one of the ways that I knew that I had the gifts of help, because that's how I would find out how to do stuff. I didn't, you know, I would just ask, I would just go and do it, and God would gift me be able to do that job. But what I realized during the years where I felt that I didn't have confidence, because if somebody else came in any church, I would get off of that piano or keyboard if I knew that they can play better than me. And the reason why is because people saw that I was limited, but they were not willing to teach me. And so I think that whether they were women or men, and, you know, but what was amazing is that they held back the gift and the talents yes. that they had. And I found that even if people knew, even if you went and paid for music lessons, you were not getting the totality of what they can teach you in the time frame that they can teach. They could teach you shorter, but they were willing to hold back what they knew that they can give you to advance you. And so I don't really understand why someone would do that, because my thing is, right now I'm teaching my 16-year-old how to play the keyboard so that I can be free in church to do other things. But I feel that if I'm doing a job, like Miss Gigi, teach me things concerning the radio station, and PJ, God knows, you teach me stuff concerning the computer. But what it does is it free you up from doing so much, and we get more done than just one of us having the knowledge to do it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wish that I don't know. I bring it back to the society that we live in, you know, today. It's gimme, 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 it's me. And we're not willing to share what we have, but I believe that, you know, that we're supposed to teach each other. And I pray that the Lord will always have my heart soft to do that.
Exactly.
And I have one more question, but you really answered that question. And that is, when you train someone and you give them something that is freely given by God, that does free up for you to do something else. But when we're trying to hold on to everything, we can't even be effective with one little thing because we're trying to do 20 things. And I learned that a long time ago, to how to either delegate or either train someone and give them freely what God has given to me, because that's like the body of Christ. And the leg cannot do what the hand and the feet and everybody. You have to just appreciate each member. And so, and I pray that that changes. And I have one little last little question, and that question is that the song Worship, I Worship, I believe that's the first song, and the other one, Let's Praise Him. And I know we talked about that before. I heard this before, the difference between the two. What is the difference between I Worship You and I Let's Praise Him? What does that mean to you versus each other?
Okay, I Worship You and
Let's Praise
Him.
Praise
You.
I think
you
it's
know,
Let's Praise. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I Will Praise You. That's it. I Will Praise You. Yeah, that's it.
I Will Praise You. That's on number 6, and I Worship You is on 1. The difference is I Will Praise You came from a place where I had to make myself praise the Lord. Like I said, I was going through so much, and, you know, as a single parent, at that time I had 3 children, and I was going through a divorce, and I mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, I had to pull myself up. You know, I was at a place where it was below zero. I was like underneath the dirt, it seems like. I was underground. And so I had to pull my spirit up. And, you know, it's not that I didn't have friends and family that was encouraging me, but there's some times where your friends and family can encourage you, but you isolate yourself. You put yourself in this box, and you isolate yourself, that their encouragement don't do any good because you are trying to protect yourself from being hurt again. And so I had to you know, I had to fall on my face and cry out. I remember I wasn't a choir before I got a divorce. But after the divorce, baby, I learned how to open up and let God come in and touch my heart. And that's where that song, I Will Praise You, came from. Because out of all that I was going through, I had to encourage myself in the Lord. Not that others wasn't doing it, but I had to say, you've got to pull. It wasn't just for my children that I had to pull myself out of the hole that I was in. It was for my survival. And so that's where that song came from. I had to pull myself up and say, you will praise the Lord. Now, I Worship You is a more happier song, you know, and that's why you get some of the runs in there. You know, you get those runs because it's a happy song. They just say, I've learned how to worship the Lord through everything.
Amen. Amen.
So do you think we bless him enough? And I guess that's what I was getting to, is that intimate place with God where, you know, we may be thanking him for what he's given us, but actually saying, I bless you because I want to give it back to you.
You hit it.
And I guess I really never looked at it like that. It's like, We ask him, oh, I thank you for this, and I thank you for giving me a car, thank you for giving me this, but just to worship him for who he is and say, I know it wasn't me, it was you, and I want to bless you, and I want to give you that acknowledgement so you would feel good that I'm giving something to you and it's not always you giving it back to me. And I just don't feel that we bless him enough.
Yes. Because the worship will come, you know, the worship comes from whatever state you in. You know, whether you have $5 in the bank or $5 million, whether you have $5,000, it comes from a state that you know that, guess what? If he doesn't do anything else, Father, I will worship you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
That's it. Back to you, Gigi.
All right. Can you hear me? Hello, everybody?
Yeah.
Testing. Here. Okay, you can hear
me?
Yes. Right, we do have some technical problems every now and then. And ladies and gentlemen, we're getting close to our hour of shutdown, and we've had the wonderful, talented Miss Anna Marie Holiday, a.k.a. Marie, born in New York. And she's a loving, God-fearing woman, as well as a very talented gospel recording artist. She's also so many other things in one. She's a teacher. She's a voice announcer, a voice over announcer. She's working with the youth. She's doing so many things. And I ask you to support us, and we would wish that you had gave us a call in tonight at 646-200-3817. But you can always download the show and listen to this wonderful, beautiful person of God. And Anna, I would like to say thank you because you've been an inspiration tonight. And I'd like to read something before we go off of the air. It's a copyrighted piece by Mae Sampson. And to me, Anna, you are a pearl. And the title of this is, I Am a Pearl in the Making. I am a pearl in the making, like an oyster seeking to soothe its pain. For life can become very irritating. Sometimes it flows like rain. Rounded and smooth, God would have me to be, lustrous and without any stain, free from the bondage of anxiety, flowing in his spiritual vein. But through suffering, I've had great advantages to share some miraculous things and see how out of dead foliage life constantly springs. The lie that rubbed me the wrong way, the spirit that caused me to sing, the pressure that brought about the shaping that caused the joy to ring. Now when the oyster has finished and the sea water washed me like rain, I'll be placed in a great crown of our Savior who shall always reign. To me, Anna, that's that poem, and that was by Miss Mae Sampson, and it's from the Father's Heart, and you'd like to get one, it's available on Amazon.com. To me, Anna, you remind me so much of a pearl. It's so pure, so sparkling, just beautiful to look at, and you're beautiful to listen to as well. You are an inspiration to me, and I really love you for all that you do, and I commend you on all the things that you've done and all the things that you will do in the name of God, and also to congratulate you on being who you are now, you know, moving forward because of the fact that we all help one another. And I'd just like to say one thing about sisters don't help sisters because they're too jealous of each other. But if we put down that mask and pull up the love and say, hey, let me put a helping hand into what you're doing, you're not going to take anything more from me. You're not going to do anything else that's going to hurt me. But I can share with you what I know so you can teach someone else the same thing that Anna had said earlier in the interview. So for each one, we teach one. That's how we stay together. Don't fall apart now. As the women in Washington, D.C., 2.5 million women got together for a special thing because they were in disagreement about, let's get together and help one another. It's very important in life because this world is going down slowly and as chaotic as it is, and Lord knows that's in office now, won't say his name because that just puts a bad taste in my mouth. We've got to do something to help ourselves because we're not going to be helped. And Anna, thank you so much for being a part of this interview. PJ?
Well, I would just like to say that, Anna, are you with us?
I am here, yes.
Would you lead us out in prayer before we give it back to Gigi?
Yes, and I just want to say, if I can, thank you all so much again for listening, for tuning in. I appreciate all your support, Miss Gigi and PJ. I have much love for you. And radio audience, I want to encourage you on tonight that if you have a gift, don't sit on it. Ask God how to use it and allow that gift to be used so that you're able to bless somebody else. The gift is not for you. The gift is for others also. So don't hold it. Let it go so God can continue to bless this earth. And I want to also say, please look forward to a book that I have coming, a new book coming out in early March. It is called Now What? And it's by Zebras Bookstore, Zebras Company. But you'll be able to find it in probably your local bookstores, Amazon, and Christian's website. And so hopefully I'll be able to come back on and talk about the book. I'm so excited about it. It's also a blessing for others. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. This is a day that you have made. I thank you, Father, for allowing Miss Gigi to have an open heart to bless others. I thank you, Father, for Miss PJ, God. They're not holding back their gifts, Father. And even as we are on the radio show on tonight, let people hear that they are somebody. Let the women know that they are special and God has a purpose for them. Let them know that they're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Let them know, Father, that they can do all things through you because you are the one that gives them strength. So I ask you, Father, that you would touch the hands tonight of each person, God, that hears my voice, God, and each person that listens to this radio show, God, each person that's connected, Father. I thank you for blessings coming in. And we give you the honor and the glory. We're so honored to be your servants. In Jesus' name I pray. And back to you, Miss Gigi.
I want to say before it goes back over to Gigi that, Anna, I appreciate you being the co-host on The Artist Loft with me and Gigi. And I also appreciate you for being in my life. I love you like a dear sister. And those times when I needed a listening ear, and a word of God and some empowerment, you were there and you stepped right in. And I appreciate that. As I tell everyone, when God does something, I don't take it for granted. So I love you and I love you and I love you. And I'm back over to you, Gigi.
Amen. Yeah. Love you too.
Thank you. Yeah, we all love you very much and we're proud of you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say we've come to a close at the end of our show. It's 7:59. It's cold out here in Georgia. Our Falcons are raining still. My voice is still good. And I'd like to say, promise the Lord something. Even though this is not a church show, it's a gospel show full of love and life and spirit, because God knows where he wants you to be placed. The only thing that you have to do is to make that move. So promise the Lord what you promised him, because he speaks to you only, and you can only hear him if you take the time to listen. And I really like to say good night to everyone, to my family and friends for listening. And we're going to play I Promise the Lord as we close out tonight. So good night, ladies. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
I promise the Lord that I will hold out, hold out, hold out. I promise the Lord that I will hold out till he meets me in Galilee.
And you promised the Lord that you would
hold out,
hold out,
hold out.
And you promised the Lord that you would hold out till he meets you in Galilee.